At Walmart, there's a whole collection of Black-led products that fit into your daily routine. We encourage you to show Black founders some love, not just during Black History Month, but all year long. There is power in every purchase.
Every time we purchase from a Black-led brand, we make room for another Black-led brand. Black founders and the products they bring to the table are creating a whole new world of choices at Walmart.
Some amazing Black-owned businesses that are available at Walmart include The Lip Bar, Zach and Zoe Honey, Partake Cookies. The list goes on and on. Go to walmart.com/blackandunlimited to discover all the amazing Black-owned products you can add to your daily routine.
If your business needs a new application, then developers will have to write code, a lot of code. If an application needs to be modernized, then you'll need time, resources, and caffeine. If that sounds daunting, then you need Watson X Code Assistant, AI designed to multiply developer productivity so you can generate code quickly. Let's create a more modern foundation for business with Watson X Code Assistant. Learn more at ibm.com/codeassistant. IBM. Let's create.
Boricua is the name for someone from Puerto Rico, but it's more than a name. It's a way of life and representation of the vibrant spirit of the island.
Let the Boricua spirit welcome you with a warm embrace to start each day and remind you why you travel in the first place.
In Puerto Rico, you can forget where you came from and embrace where you are. With nearly 300 beaches and 300 miles of coastline, there's always new places to explore.
The island's diverse geography offers everything from secluded coves with white sand and crystalline water to stunning black sand beaches. There are spots that are perfect for water sports. You can surf, snorkel, paddleboard, or go diving.
To travel to Puerto Rico, there is no passport required for U.S. citizens and permanent residents. Learn more and plan your trip at discoverpuertorico.com.
Help! I Suck at Dating with Dean, Vanessa, and Jared, an iHeartRadio podcast.
Hey, what's going on? Welcome to an all-new episode of Help, I Suck at Dating. My name is Jared Haben, joined all the way from Montreal with the beautiful Vanessa Grimaldi.
Oh, I love how you rolled your R's. That's so European.
It wasn't my best roll. You just got back from Europe, didn't you?
I just got back from Europe. I was in Paris, and then I was in Italy with the family. But it feels good to be back. 3 weeks vacation, for me, I feel like 10 days is a good vacation time. More than that, I just get like homesick. So yeah. I'm happy to be back.
Yeah, 3 weeks, you get really homesick. I've been there and it's like, okay, after 10 days, I agree with you, 10 days, I'm kind of ready to go back home.
Yeah.
Also, obviously, Mark and Easton are in studio. Dean is
still on vacation.
Driving here.
He's driving here, and that's important because we have a lot to ask him about as far as paradise goes.
Yes.
I've asked him to share his location with me so I can give you real-time updates of how far away he is.
Okay, how far is Dean?
I don't know yet. He hasn't responded yet, but I've requested the location.
All right, well, he did text us approximately 10 minutes ago saying he was 34 minutes away.
10 minutes ago?
Just about, maybe about 15 minutes ago. It's hard to get on my
LA
laptop.
Traffic, that might be another hour.
Okay, well, we'll see.
So we'll find out. The van is about 20 minutes away approximately. The question is, does he have somebody else in the van with him?
Ooh.
And we have some obviously breaking recent news from Bachelor in Paradise that involves our very own Dean Unglert. So we're going to catch up with him later on in this podcast. But first, we have some very special guests that are in studio right now from the new show, Marrying Millions, which premiered last Wednesday. Second episode is tomorrow night, 10 p.m. on Lifetime. We have Sean Lourdes and Megan Thomas in studio.
Hey!
Thank you so much for joining us, guys. Appreciate it. So tell us about your new show, Marrying Millions, what it's about. Because you two are engaged. You were engaged before the show. But tell us a little bit about it.
Well, one of the individuals on the show is a millionaire, and the other one is not.
So okay, in our who's case, the millionaire?
Sean is the millionaire. And I'm the girl from the small town that met the man of her dreams.
Megan, I am from a small town, and I am not a millionaire either. So I certainly relate. I'm relating to you on that one. So the whole show pretty much centers around the story. Like you said, there's couples. One is wealthy. One is not. Or not wealthy, but obviously not a millionaire.
Right.
And so the whole point of the show, from my understanding, is that it really gets down to the crux of whether somebody is here for the, quote, right reasons, which is thrown around Bachelor all the time, right reasons, wrong reasons, of whether somebody is dating someone just because of their money.
Right. Or a gold digger. Right. Are they a gold digger?
A gold digger. And gold diggers can be guys. They can be girls. They can be any.
Yeah. Well, on the show, there's also someone who's an older woman dating someone who's basically her daughter's age, mm-hmm. right? There's six couples. So it's a docuseries and they follow six couples. You're one of the six couples. And there's also another couple. Jared, I want to see if you know your math skills are really good. There's another couple, Bill and Brianna. Bill is 60.
Okay.
And Brianna is 21. Guess, ooh. Well, can you calculate what the age gap is?
Yeah, they're 39 years.
Oh, you're good.
Come on, guys. Come on. The Rhode Island public school system did me no wrong. I barely passed.
So Megan, is it something that you, is that the reason why you wanted to do the show, to kind of put an end to like the idea that people think people marry for money?
I wanted to do the show. I actually kind of made Sean do the show and I'm like, come on, it'll be fun, because we just like new experiences. We do things that the public doesn't really have access to. So we just like unique experiences. So I'm like, let's do this show. It sounds so fun.
Yeah, totally. It's kind of the same thing before we get asked to go on Bachelor. People are like, well, why would you date on TV? It's like, mm-hmm. well, why not? Yeah. You know, it's such an incredibly unique opportunity. Why would I ever say no to this if life has led me this way? But you guys were dating before the show. So you guys have been together for how long?
5 years.
Just about 5 years. And then you got engaged last year, correct? Perfect.
That's right. Yep.
And so now you guys, now I know the show, circles all around the drama, right? And it might be leading towards the idea, you know, whether you guys are going to stay engaged, whether you're going to break off the engagement. So you can't talk about wedding plans just yet, right?
You'll have to watch.
Okay. Yes.
I love that line. It seems as though your relationship, though, is mostly, the drama is mostly around family.
That's right. Sean's dad is, you know, worried about securing the family's wealth. And so he's kind of the one that's hesitant about us getting married.
He's on his third wife.
Well, that explains it.
Yeah, he has a prenup about 2 inches high with his third wife. They're not
have
married.
Have you ever read the prenup?
No. He sent it to
time
me.
Time for that. It's so long.
He wanted me to just have Megan sign it right at the bottom. And I, without reading, he's like, I'll just do it like quietly. She'll, you know, have some drinks and have her.
Oh my God.
Is that
God.
How it works now? Just I'm get like, Megan, you know, that. A little tipsy and just sign right here, honey. Don't worry about it. It's not like it's a prenuptial agreement or anything.
My mom says it ruined her marriage with my dad.
Oh no.
Oh wow.
She felt
tricked. I wonder what was in the prenup though, because I know a lot of couples who, well, personally, I've actually, it's a subject that I've been thinking about too, because I'm in a relationship, not nearly as close to what you guys are, 5 years with a kid. Like, it's a very new relationship for me, but prenup has always been a subject that I remember, like, years ago, I thought I would never sign a prenup, because to me, it's like, well, why would, it's almost like a contract, right? So if this happens, then this is like, these are the consequences to that. And then as I start talking to more people, it kind of just made more sense. Like my parents are divorced, and I know a lot of people who are divorced as well. And it's not only about assets. I think it's about like other things too that come along with it. So is that something that's totally off the table for you guys?
I want, my dad's very important to me. I want him to be at the wedding, but he's saying that he's, you know, there's no wedding without a prenup. And so we're struggling with that right now. We're just,
I'm
trying to make them both happy. Megan doesn't want to be labeled as a gold digger. You know, she feels like, oh, if I sign that, you know, it means I just want everybody happy. It's hard to make, you know, make
it's impossible to make everybody happy. I mean, I'm currently engaged right now and it's tough with, you know, you have your own family that's supporting and loving you. And then you also have your significant other who you want to make happy. And it's difficult, right? Because there's so many different personalities and so many people that you care about deeply. It's really hard to know what the right decision is.
Impossible.
But my question is actually, because I'm a little naive within this subject, what exactly is a prenup? Because I know it's signed before you get married, right? Does it have to be?
You can also do it after marriage.
Okay, you can do it afterwards.
Yeah, I mean, you can also put sunset clauses in it. I mean, they're meaning if you're successful in your marriage for 10 years, it becomes null. You know, you can do that. There's a lot of things like that my dad was mentioning. We can, you know, tell Megan that, like, hey, if you
wasn't there something like if the woman gains 30 pounds or something that you have to get a divorce?
No way.
Stupid thing. No. In your dad's contract?
He has something like that.
I don't remember the exact details of it, but
that's
something
like on
along
page
those
232.
Lines. Yeah, oh, small wow. print, paragraph 3, line 4. That's very interesting. So, Megan, what is your apprehension with signing a prenup?
I also think it's like a contract, like a business agreement. You know, we're not even married yet, and you think that I'm going to like take the family's money. I think it creates distrust, and I don't want a prenup.
Interesting. Very interesting. I think from an outsider's perspective, it's tough because I can see both sides of it. Because I can right. obviously see your father's side saying, hey, it's not that I think my future daughter-in-law is a quote-unquote gold digger, but things happen, right? And you can't predict the future. But I also see
well, it's also because he was married 3 times, so I totally understand where he's coming from. And yeah. like I said, my parents are divorced too, so now I understand the value of a prenup, but it's not for everybody. It's not to say that everybody needs to do that. But enough of the heavy talk. We know that this show is about real relationship, real love. We want to know, how did you guys meet?
I was going to UCLA and Sean had a position open at his foundation, the Lourdes Foundation. And so I went to go apply for this job and he was 15 minutes late to the meeting. So I bounced back to school and then he kind of just chased me after that.
I'm an interactive CEO. I like to meet the people we were hiring. She had an impressive resume. So, I mean, I was like, oh, this girl has straight A's. She's the captain of this at her high school. She does this and this and, you know.
And she's beautiful.
And she's gorgeous with brains. I wanted to meet her. And when I went down, she was gone 15 minutes. I couldn't believe it. So I looked her up and it took me a year and a half to get her on the first date.
Oh my God, that's so cute.
A year and a half. What were you holding out for, Megan?
I mean, he was intimidating. He would have all these photos with actresses and fancy cars, and I was kind of like, who is this guy?
Oh,
I actually,
Instagram.
Seeing how you brought that up, I kind of want to get to one of those pictures, which I am fascinated by. So, Sean, I may have looked you up on the old gram before you came in. Just to kind of familiarize myself with both of you guys, you have a few awesome pictures. You have a picture with, you know, Barack Obama, Don Jr. You have a picture with Dalai Lama and Jim Carrey, which is freaking awesome. But there's one picture that's so vague, I have to ask you about it. It just was last July 4th, or excuse me, 2 years ago. And it's a picture of Keanu Reeves with Sean Jr., your child.
Oh, that one.
And it says, happy 4th of July, everyone. Thank you, Keanu Reeves, for keeping Sean Jr. safe. Hashtag babysitting. Did Keanu Reeves babysit Sean Jr.?
He's an awesome guy. We bumped into him in the Malibu market. He's always there. If you ever want to like see him, he's there like all the time.
Malibu Market? I'm going there right after this.
Everyone's jotting this down.
The Malibu what?
Country Mart.
The Malibu Country Mart, yeah. And my mom saw him, loves him. We love him in the Matrix, you know. The guy can bend time. He's awesome.
Yeah, no, so, Point Break, Johnny, you know, he's Shane Falco. The dude's the man.
Yeah, and he babysat him for like that 5 seconds right there. You know, it was just, you know, he was nice enough to hold him and take a picture for my mom. He's really awesome.
That's awesome. I know I had to, cause I was just scrolling through and I'm a big Keanu Reeves fan. And obviously that dude is going through a moment right now. Yeah. He's the biggest name in the world. It was such a vague picture of just you. And now I know your mother and your son, and it just said babysitting. And I was like, is this guy have Keanu Reeves as a babysitter right now? And he's coming on our podcast?
That's real money.
Lionel Richie is like his godfather, though.
A real godfather?
No, like we're very blessed to have a really awesome group of friends. And, you know, we've met wonderful people and they're all very supportive of our kid. Like,
that's
I feel
awesome.
Like their energy just transformed. Like, we were, Lionel rubbed Megan's belly, you know, before he was born at Nobu. I feel like that good energy passed on and now he's like an actor himself. He's like, you know, he's doing so many things. He's got an agent in New York. He makes his own money. He's got a little bank account.
Helps. Yeah, that's so cute.
And Sean is three now?
He's three and a half.
He's three and a half with an agent. My God, I got to get on. I'm 30 and I'm just slacking right now. So Sean, what was your hesitation going on the show?
My hesitation was, you know, I'm kind of more of a private guy.
Mm-hmm.
And Megan came over and just asked me, you know, 6 times let's do it. Please, 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 please. Mm-hmm. So I just said, okay, you know, it'd be good to get the foundation out there a little more. If people need help with any kind of charity, they need, you know, help with their lives or something, you know, I would like them to come to our foundation and ask for help. We're looking for a new program.
And what's the name of the foundation?
The Lourdes Foundation. It's just
my last
name.
What does your foundation do?
We do a lot of youth empowerment and education. You know, we used to go to schools and talk to kids and not to give up on their dreams. And then I just said, you know, we can do a bigger impact. What can we do? So I teamed up with His Holiness, the Dalai Lama, brought him into, you know, went down to India, stayed at his home. And he was so generous and nice to fit me in, because normally you have to wait 5 years to work with him. But he's like, you know what? I believe in your cause. And so I rented out the stadium, the Forum Stadium, for him, and I hosted him in Los Angeles and gave 5,000 tickets away to the inner city kids that haven't really seen the beach. You know, they're that poor. Mm. So I teamed up with another charity, bussed them in with their parents, their teachers, their principals. 5,000 tickets I gave for free, which some people were like, oh, we need to charge for those. I'm like, no, we're giving those for free.
You know, awesome.
And we busted
him in. That's amazing.
And the Dalai Lama said it was his most youthful event he's ever done. That was something nice.
Wow. Yeah, I was going to say maybe we could team up, but if you work with the Dalai Lama, I don't think you're going to want to work with me.
And
we
got, Vanessa, you and the Dalai Lama, you guys are on the same playing level,
yeah, totally,
okay?
Same page. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We got a bucket load of letters from the kids. It was so nice. One was terminally ill, and she's like, you're not going to get, you know, I'm not going to be around when you see this letter, but I just want you to know that event changed my life. It was just touching. You know,
yeah, that's powerful.
You're on the right path.
Yeah.
And yeah, we did another event for the leaders of LA, you know, underneath the Endeavor space shuttle. That was, you know, all the head of the homeless shelters, or like the head of the studios, you know, it was all like the who's who. And that's where Jim Carrey came. We invited him because he really wanted, he was really funny, actually. He saved me up on stage. I was trying to be funny up there, not with all the creators saying something funny. And then half the room laughed. So it was kind of like, and then he just made a joke. Everyone laughed. I'm like, thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Jim Carrey.
Which is because it's Jim Carrey, though.
Yeah.
I'm sure your joke is funny.
Thank you.
I think that's a great idea to do the show and get the exposure for your foundation. Now that you've done the show, what can you say has helped strengthen your relationship? Like, what are the key ingredients to making a healthy relationship work?
Oh, really easy. That one's communication. Megan's really big at communications. Her degree at UCLA is communications. So she's loves to communicate. I don't know. What else?
Yeah. I think that's a big one, telling your partner everything and anything and not keeping anything from them, because ultimately you're living your life with your partner and your best friend. So you shouldn't keep anything from them.
I think a lot of our listeners have difficulty talking about money, because in a lot of relationships, there's one part of the relationship that makes, you know, one person that may make more money than the other. So how do you guys deal with that?
I mean, for me, it was a big adjustment, kind of getting used to Sean's habits of spending, because I come from a place where I save up like every penny, and he's, you know, he likes to spend a little bit more. But I think that as you grow with somebody, you just get used to it. And now we have the same bank accounts, you know, I'm attached to his bank account. So it's kind of very transparent about what we spend. And
yeah, just trust each other, you know, just take a leap of faith. You live once. Goes by so fast. Why not just share?
It's hard. I know that couples, even married couples, that still have separate bank accounts.
Yeah.
And so I feel like, even though it really seems like this materialistic thing, money does become an issue between people within a relationship.
Yeah. Each to their own. You know, there's everybody's different. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's one formula for success, but definitely communication, taking a leap of faith, trust. I mean, we believe in a higher power too. So we like to, you know, God's like always there. So it's like, it's everything. That's everything. So it's like, you know, we take everything with a grain of salt, if you know what I mean? Like, we're not trying to be better than anybody. It's just, we're both humble. So I think that's what allows us.
You can definitely see that.
Yeah. We can connect on that level. It doesn't matter. Like, I mean, I took her to, in 1 year, we went to Bali, and she wanted to be a yoga teacher. So I'm like, let's go to the best place in the world to become a yoga teacher. And so she became a yoga certified instructor, so she can do And we went to Bali for a month. And then after that, we went to Thailand. And then we went to Japan, took her to the Ritz-Carlton and Kyoto. And that was like, they have a really good experience there where you can dress up in kimonos. And so, I mean, just, you know, life, you got to enjoy life. Can't just all be about making money. So that's, I think that's another thing too, to enjoy your life while you're young, not wait till you're retired and then go on vacations. Mm-hmm. You got to think that, you know, experiences are
totally
important.
You know, I didn't ask you this one more question before you guys go. I don't know if it's going to be a spoiler for the season, so I don't even know if you can answer it. What are your views about the prenup, Sean? I know your dad's views. I know your views, Megan.
I didn't think it was a big deal until I saw Megan got so offended with it. So I just took a step back and had to research a little more on why she got so upset. So it was interesting for me because my parents had it. It's pretty normal.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But I want Megan happy, you know, happy wife, happy life, right? But we're not married yet.
So. I'm learning the same thing, my friend.
I found a bunch of the odd clauses people have put into prenups over the years, because you can literally do whatever you want. Like, for example, obviously who gets the pets, but you can also who gets the pool boy, who gets the gardener, who gets the nanny, that sort of thing. One prenup said that the wife was fined $500 for every pound she gained.
That's what I was talking about.
Oh, my God.
Every pound?
Every pound, you know, from the pot, from the divorce pot.
Why would anyone sign that prenup? Why would a woman sign that prenup?
This one says that her husband could only watch no more than 2 football games per month.
Oh, screw that. You ripped that contract right up.
And she could only watch 2 reality shows a week.
She watched The Bachelor?
In the deal. What religion their children will practice, whether or not their child will be a vegetarian. For every time the husband was rude to his in-laws, he had to pay $10,000.
Well, that's such a vague thing. What defines being rude? $10,000?
And so, supposedly Justin Timberlake has a deal that if he cheats on Jessica Biel, she will receive $500,000.
That seems like a low ball, if I'm being honest. Yeah. Anybody else in that park with me?
And you could even in the prenup determine how often you have sex.
Okay, now that's a little too much. I thought just like a simple prenup of like who, like if you guys get a divorce, whatever, like how are the assets divided? Not if you're going to gain a pound, you're going to get fined $500 for every pound. That's just, I've never heard of that.
I laugh at the $500,000 Justin Timberlake if he cheats on Jessica Biel. If he cheats on Jessica Biel, which he won't, but if he does, that girl's getting at least 20 mil. Okay. I don't know where this $500,000 thing came in. But Sean and Megan, thank you so much for coming into the studio today. We really appreciate it.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah. Marrying Millions is on the second episode tomorrow night, Wednesday night at 10 p.m. Eastern Time on Lifetime. If you didn't see the season premiere last week, I'm sure you can find it wherever TV shows are right now so you can catch up on the season. Sean, Megan, where can everybody find you?
You can add us on Instagram. Sean Lourdes, SEANLOURDES.
And your foundation, what's your foundation's page?
We have a website. It's the Lourdes Foundation Worldwide.org, but abbreviated. So just TLFWW.org. It's better to find us on Instagram, and, you know, we have a staff there to filter things.
Perfect. Great.
and Megan.
Oh, my Instagram is at MEGGIRLL, Meg Girl.
Perfect. Well, once again, thank you guys so much for coming in. We're really looking forward to keeping up with your engagement or relationship on Marrying Millions, which again is on Wednesday nights, 10 o'clock on Lifetime.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
I have Dean's location.
Oh, you have Dean's location?
Where's Dean?
He's right there.
Oh, my God. He's in the other studio.
We'll bring him in and talk to him about Paradise next.
What a great experience.
True love is always being excited from the first moment you see one another and every time after that. It's taking long walks together in the summer, gazing longingly into each other's eyes, and, well, watching their tail wag when they chase a squirrel in the yard.
The Pedigree brand asked about believing in love at first sight, and honestly, the answer is yes.
Ashley adopted Lois, and I didn't know until I actually picked her up and saw her with my own eyes that we were taking this dog home. But I took one look at Lois, and my life has never been the same, and I love her so much, and I'm very grateful for that moment that Ashley decided to adopt Lois. So it really was love at first sight for me.
Adopting a dog can lead to a lifetime of meaningful connections. A Pedigree loyalty survey revealed that 95% of dog owners say that the bond they have with their dogs is closer than expected. And another Pedigree loyalty survey revealed 90% of first-time dog owners report that having a dog improved at least one relationship in their lives.
We have adopted two dogs. First was Pappy and the second was Alistair. And I got to tell you, I didn't know I could love such a little creature so much. With Pappy, he just stole our hearts right away. He was so attached to us. And even with Alistair, we got him and we fostered at first and then decided to adopt not long after that.
Just a few days after.
They bring so much light into our lives. After we lost Pappy, Kaylin and I agreed to maybe take a couple months off from having a dog in our lives. And not even a week later, we couldn't stand it anymore. There's just so much light that coming home to a dog brings into our lives. And whenever we're on a trip, all we can ever think about is coming back home and seeing Alistair. So I love adoption. I think adopting dogs is the way to go. They are so grateful for it. They definitely love you harder because they know what you took them from and the great life that you're giving them. Real love can exist between pet and pet parent. Pedigree is committed to helping more dogs find loving homes, and we can attest that love at first sight is closer than you think. It's available at your local dog shelter.
Find love at first sight with the Pedigree Adoption Drive June 7th to 9th, and the Pedigree brand will reimburse your dog adoption fees nationwide. Visit pedigree.com/adoption-drive to learn more about the adoption drive and to see full terms and conditions.
At Walmart, there's a whole collection of Black lead products that fit into your daily routine. We encourage you to show Black founders some love, not just during Black History Month, but all year long. There is power in every purchase.
Every time we purchase from a Black lead brand, we make room for another Black lead brand. Black founders and the products they bring to the table are creating a whole new world of choices at Walmart.
Some amazing Black-owned businesses that are available at Walmart include The Lip Bar, Zach and Zoe Honey, Partake Cookies. The list goes on and on. Go to walmart.com/blackandunlimited to discover all the amazing Black-owned products you can add to your daily routine.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Have you been thinking about LASIK but not sure if you're a candidate? Just go to LASIK.com/quiz and take our free candidacy quiz. In just a few minutes, you'll know if LASIK is likely right for you. And if it is, we'll connect you with experienced LASIK doctors in your area. Start your journey towards 20/20 vision. Take our free candidacy quiz at LASIK.com/quiz. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Hello. Oh, I was going to intro you. You just came in.
Dean is going to go for it. Make your
Dean Unglert's back in studio. The van made it.
You hesitated. I was going to, I wasn't going to go, and then.
Well, you were laughing, and then the music hadn't stopped yet. It's a long time coming. Not really, because you haven't missed that. You just missed 1 week,
last
right?
week's episode.
Yeah, that was nothing.
I hope everyone had a great July 4th.
I hope you had a great July 4th.
I hope everyone had a great Canada Day.
Oh, yeah, that too, that day. That one
when
day.
Is Canada Day?
It was on July 4th this year.
No.
What's
Canada Day? How is it? What day?
I thought it was like Thanksgiving. It's always the first July Monday 1st. Of July or something.
No, it's July 1st, and you guys are the 4th.
I'm embarrassed.
We're right after Canada. So, Dean, let's just jump right into it. You got promoted last night on being Bachelor in Paradise.
I got promoted?
Promoted on being Bachelor in Paradise. There was a 30-second little trailer that was released.
Let me ask you guys this.
Hold on.
Okay, my bad.
So they showed the trailer for Bachelor in Paradise, and I'm watching it, and I see the Blake drama, I see Hannah G, and then all of a sudden I see a guy on there with luscious, luscious, beautiful flowing hair.
On my lip.
And a stash.
Oh my God, I guarantee I thought you would have
shaved it. Nope. I guarantee you that stash is going to go down in Bachelor history, and no one is ever going to forget it, because then later on I saw a 10 second promo for Bachelor in Paradise, and all it was Dean combing his mustache and honestly, just take my money, whatever I need to pay to watch this show, I'm watching just because of that.
I was thinking about it. I was like, how much must they be grasping for something on the show if my mustache is a point of conversation at this point. There were like articles being written with my mustache in the headlines, and I'm like, there should be more interesting things to discuss on the Bachelor in Paradise spoilers or teasers than my glorious mustache.
I don't think so. I think that's the number one headline.
Is there anything interesting that you can tell us that happened?
Well, I grew out my mustache.
Did you shave your mustache while you were down there?
I'm not going to get into the specifics of the mustache.
Okay.
It's not the last you'll see of the mustache. The mustache will be a very central point of my time on Paradise. Let me just say that.
Does anyone fall in love with the stash?
I think America's already fallen in love with the stash. Actually, no, the internet's reaction so far has been pretty brutal. Everyone, like, rightfully so. The mustache was ironic, right? Like, I wore the mustache ironically to go to Paradise. Probably to spare myself a little bit. Like, part of me was like, I think I'm going to walk down there. No one's going to be interested in me. But if I grow out a mustache, it's not my fault. It's the mustache's fault.
Self-sabotage again.
Oh, my God, Dean!
And also, I just thought it was funny. Like, and Wells,
it
actually...
It worked in your favor.
The first time I saw Wells, he was like, it takes a really bold man to have that kind of mustache on national television. And my point was, is like, yeah, people come in here, they try to like polish themselves up and put their best foot forward. I was like, I'm just going to go down there looking as grungy as I possibly can, i.e. the mustache.
Well, and it looks great.
It was fine. I will say it was a little hot, you know, 90 degrees plus 100% humidity with a 2-inch lip caterpillar. It kind of adds to the heat and the sweat a little bit. The conversations initially got off to a pretty rough start because, you know, people come down, you come down and people are like expecting to see you in some sort of way and you don't really meet their expectations in that way.
Like, that's,
but I feel like it's a good icebreaker.
It's a well, okay, and that was part of it too, my first icebreaker, because I don't know if Vanessa knows this, but Jared obviously does. When you come down the stairs, your first task is to like pull 4 or 5 people you might be interested in going on a date with and like having a conversation to see if there might be chemistry to explore further.
Yeah, it's excruciating.
And everything I led with, I was like, yeah, I got this mustache. I live in a van. I don't really have a job.
You're like George Costanza from Seinfeld when he does everything backwards.
I don't have a job and I live with my parents.
Yeah. My name is George. I'm unemployed and I live with my parents.
And it works for him.
My name is Dean. I live in a van and...
I have a mustache.
Yeah. My name is Dean. I'm unemployed and I live with a van. By the way, I have a mustache. Would you want to go to date with me?
I don't use soap.
I use soap now.
Oh, great.
Soap. We've known that. I've been using soap since like February, ever since the shingles outbreak.
Deodorant?
Deodorant. Oh, I put deodorant on just my left armpit today because I want to test to see how much smellier my right armpit's gonna get.
Good God! Let's just move on.
I just want to see.
It's an interesting experiment, Mart. So there was another report that came out just yesterday, which I think a lot of people were stunned by.
And actually, before we get to that,
you want to talk about how about the?
How's it smelling?
I might need a third-party opinion. Does anyone in this room want to smell my armpit?
Easton, he raised his hand very quickly.
So I've been waiting for you to ask that for years.
Wait. Okay, before we do this, I put deodorant on one armpit. I'm not going to tell Easton which armpit.
Great.
I want to see if he can guess which armpit.
All right, so Easton, smell the left one.
Here we go.
Smell the left one.
Left. There we go.
Ian's
left armpit.
All right, so... Okay, now smell the right one. Smell the right one.
He's smiling, so that means it's a good smell.
Easton's going in deep. Easton's like touching the fabric.
All right, Easton, come to the microphone.
Easton.
Easton, what was your experience?
You know, approaching from far away, I thought I could smell it. I'm like, it's obvious. It's not that clear which one it is.
So which armpit does Dean have a deodorant on?
He has deodorant on his left.
It's my left.
Yay!
but
got it.
Did you
got
sense it. The hesitation in his voice? Did they both reek, or were they both like me? Like
no, they both smelled really good, actually.
Soap you've been using.
Can we not? Can I get a round of applause for that, please? Sure. And Easton, obviously, for putting his nose on the line.
I have an armpit fetish. It was actually quite fun for me.
So yes, the point is, what was the point of that again? I don't remember. I used deodorant, but only on one armpit. And
because your armpits, you don't think smell, so you wanted to make sure that...
It's just like, I don't think my armpits smell bad enough to where I need to introduce a new chemical to them to make them smell better.
The only time my...
Oh, I get that.
The only time my armpits smell is when I'm sweating.
Well, I don't sweat. I'm not really much of a sweater. We have this weird genetic disease where I don't sweat.
Really? I don't sweat either, but I do smell. Like if I get in a hot, like last night I was at the Backstreet Boys after party and I was like, I thought I was going to meet them. And then I smelled my armpits and one smelled like I was wearing this one. I was wearing a top that had a sleeve and the other arm didn't have a sleeve. And I forgot to wear deodorant on the arm that didn't have a sleeve. And that armpit smelled like cardboard, like, you know, like wet cardboard.
Oh, good God.
And that's a bad smell, right?
Thankfully, I didn't end up meeting them, but.
That's not
a
good thing, right?
We're getting off track here.
Sorry.
Back to Paradise.
Was that intentional?
Listen, all right.
Did I do that on purpose?
I have a quick question. There was another article on E! News that reported something about you and a particular person down in Paradise that you may or may not be dating right now. I don't even know why I'm saying it. The headline says, I'm not going to say her name, but it says Bachelor Nation's Dean Unglert and blank are dating. Mark, I can't say her name.
I have been told to relate to you, let's please not say her name. And I'm not sure if that's for legal reasons or why, but that's what I've been told. Not by Dean, by the way. By people higher up the ladder than Dean.
Because it's on E! News. This is not a salacious...
Understood. I understand.
I mean, E! News is still celebrity gossip.
Yeah, but E! News wouldn't spoil it.
They're not going to get the name from us.
E! News is not the National Enquirer by any means, if you know what I mean.
I have a question for Dean, because you didn't answer me on Instagram. Did you go to Europe with a specific person?
Yeah, I went with a lot of my great friends. We did Greece for a couple...
A female friend?
I'm not at liberty to discuss any of this stuff, but I was in Europe for the past 2.5 weeks with a lot of great friends. I sailed on a boat in Greece for a while. I went to Spain. I hiked through the Dolomites in Italy. And that's all I'm going to say about it.
I'm very interested why we can't say her name. Because there's an article on E! News, People Magazine, and Us Weekly saying it.
I'm not going to tell you guys what you can and can't do. All I'm going to say is, whether you say this person's name or not, I'm going to give the same cryptic answer. And that is, I can't discuss it.
Great cryptic answer.
There was this weird.
Not forward at all.
I feel like someone's making a phone call. I think your phone's on or something like that. Or someone, maybe your computer is making noise. That's what it was.
Oh, sorry.
The point is that.
Well, I think she's beautiful.
I think you guys should just watch Bachelor in Paradise. You're going to get to watch the mustache for a couple episodes. Maybe you won't see the mustache on a couple episodes. I don't know.
Ooh.
The teaser is the mustache.
All right. I have to ask one thing. Before we go, because this was widely talked about for quite a while.
Yeah.
You recently said months ago.
Yeah.
About bachelor relationships and how you think they're all fake.
Oh, Jared, right? Good question.
But it's just, we've talked about it many times.
Yeah.
Not put them on the spot, but we can just have a conversation about it. Because I think people would be mad if we didn't at least address it.
Right.
So now you went back on the show.
Yep.
So what changed your mind?
What changed my mind to go back on the show?
Well, obviously you went on Paradise for the experience and thinking I'll meet some people and we'll see what comes from it. But a couple months ago, you said that all bachelor relationships are fake, and you've kind of changed, you know, you've obviously, you didn't exactly mean it that way.
Truth be told, I went on the show not looking to be in a relationship with anyone. I'm not saying whether I am in a relationship now or I'm not, but I went on the show with zero intention to leave the show in a relationship. Does that degrade the integrity of the show? Probably a little bit.
No, it doesn't. No? And I'll tell you why.
Why?
We'll continue with you, and then I'll tell you why I think it's a good answer.
And I went in with the intention of just, you know, like we all do. We go on the show. You got to sit on the beach for a little bit, relax, have some drinks, meet some new people, hang out, whatever. I went on the show without expecting to leave in a relationship, almost actually fighting it to leave in a relationship. There's a couple people down there that I've been in relationships with in the past, and we've talked about it even before I went on the show. And I was like telling them, I was like, look, I have no intention of leaving in a relationship even before going on the show with anyone. Because I know that I've said these things, bachelor relationships are all fake, blah, 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 blah. I put my foot in my mouth every chance I possibly get, and I probably will do it many, many more times. And I think when I said that, I think as we talked about just after it happened, that, you know, that was coming off like a heated moment, and I learned some things I didn't like, and I was beside myself, and I was upset, and I was venting, and I was being extreme and radical because of those things. So yes, I don't think that all bachelor relationships are fake. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, totally. The whole reason I asked it was because I think a lot of people immediately assume that you have to go into these experiences, specifically the bachelor experiences, with being 100% in, being like, I'm here only for a relationship and only for love. And I've always said that that's ridiculous and naive and really dumb. Mm-hmm. And I think you're a great example of somebody, now that it may or may not have come out that you're in a relationship, of someone going in and being like, I don't know, I'm going down and just being myself, and whatever happens, happens. And I'm not coming here just for love or anything like that. And then life happens, and then you end up maybe finding someone and developing feelings for someone. And I feel like that's a good example, not only for Bachelor, but just for life in general.
Life, yeah.
Because sometimes it's always when you're least expecting it is when you find something great. And I think that's a cool example of it.
I will say that this was probably my best season of Bachelor since the first one, of all of them, actually. Of the four that I've been on, this was probably my favorite. For many, many reasons. One, because of that, I went down the stairs this time, Bachelor in Paradise season 6, my fourth time around, with the intention and understanding that, like, I'm just going to be me with this ridiculous mustache, talk shit about myself as I always do, and see what comes of it. If something comes of it, great. I'm not expecting it. In fact, I almost prefer for nothing to come of it. And so I think that you'll see that side of me for the first time in all four seasons. I stayed completely sober the entire time.
That's awesome.
Which,
good for you.
Which is a challenging thing in those, in that circumstance, because you always, you get bored a lot. All you want to do is drink. Your friends are all drinking. All you want to do is join them. Granted, I wasn't down. I'm not going to say how long I was down there for, but I wasn't down there obviously as original cast. So I wasn't there the whole time. But I'm excited to watch it back. Like, obviously, you always have your reservations and your concerns about how they're going to edit you and what they're going to do to you. But for the first time, I'm finally like, I don't have to worry about being drunk and saying something stupid on camera, because I didn't get drunk and say, I still said stupid things on camera, but I didn't get drunk and say stupid things on camera.
You have no concerns about, like, how did you feel last time when you left? Did you know you were screwed last time when you left?
100%.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you feel good this time?
I feel better this time. Good or bad? Obviously, like I don't know if I'm in a relationship after all of it, this is said and done.
Well, I'm supposed
apparently
to ask you.
People Magazine, Us Weekly, and E! News all know you are. So
I've been authorized to ask you the question, are you single?
Ooh.
I think that you're just going to have to watch this season of Bachelor in Paradise and decide for yourself.
All right.
It's all said and done.
That's fair enough. Great tease. Well, speaking of great tease, we have a wonderful guest coming up, Tina Wilson, who is the founder of Wingman, a new dating app that's revolutionizing the world, except for Canada, because they don't have it up there, but they have it everywhere else. So we'll be talking to Tina Wilson. But first, let's take a little break.
True love is always being excited from the first moment you see one another and every time after that. It's taking long walks together in the summer, gazing longingly into each other's eyes, and, well, watching their tail wag when they chase a squirrel in the yard.
The Pedigree brand asked about believing in love at first sight, and honestly, the answer is yes.
Ashley adopted Lois, and I didn't know until I actually picked her up and saw her with my own eyes that we were taking this dog home. But I took one look at Lois, and my life has never been the same, and I love her so much, and I'm very grateful for that moment that Ashley decided to adopt Lois. So it really was love at first sight for me.
Adopting a dog can lead to a lifetime of meaningful connections. A Pedigree loyalty survey revealed that 95% of dog owners say that the bond they have with their dogs is closer than expected, and another Pedigree loyalty survey revealed 90% of first-time dog owners report that having a dog improved at least one relationship in their lives.
We have adopted two dogs. First was Pappy, and the second was Alistair. And I got to tell you, I didn't know I could love such a little creature so much. With Pappy, he just stole our hearts right away. He was so attached to us. And even with Alistair, we got him and we fostered at first and then decided to adopt not long after that.
Just a few days after.
They bring so much light into our lives. After we lost Pappy, Kaylin and I agreed to maybe take a couple months off from having a dog in our lives. And not even a week later, we couldn't stand it anymore. There's just so much light that coming home to a dog brings into our lives. And whenever we're on a trip, all we can ever think about is coming back home and seeing Alistair. So I love adoption. I think adopting dogs is the way to go. They are so grateful for it. They definitely love you harder because they know what you took them from and the great life that you're giving them. Real love can exist between pet and pet parent. Pedigree is committed to helping more dogs find loving homes, and we can attest that love at first sight is closer than you think. It's available at your local dog shelter.
Find love at first sight with the Pedigree Adoption Drive June 7th to 9th, and the Pedigree brand will reimburse your dog adoption fees nationwide. Visit pedigree.com/adoption-drive to learn more about the adoption drive and to see full terms and conditions.
At Walmart, there's a whole collection of Black-led products that fit into your daily routine. We encourage you to show Black founders some love, not just during Black History Month, but all year long. There is power in every purchase.
Every time we purchase from a Black-led brand, we make room for another Black-led brand. Black founders and the products they bring to the table are creating a whole new world of choices at Walmart.
Some amazing Black-owned businesses that are available at Walmart include The Lip Bar, Zach and Zoe Honey, Partake Cookies. The list goes on and on. Go to walmart.com/blackandunlimited to discover all the amazing Black-owned products you can add to your daily routine.
L-A-S-I-K, LASIK.com.
Have you been thinking about LASIK but not sure if you're a candidate? Just go to LASIK.com/quiz and take our free candidacy quiz. In just a few minutes, you'll know if LASIK is likely right for you. And if it is, we'll connect you with experienced LASIK doctors in your area. Start your journey towards 20/20 vision. Take our free candidacy quiz at LASIK.com/quiz. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
L-A-S-I-K, LASIK.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Help, I Suck at Dating. Up next on the phone, we have Tina Wilson, who is the founder of Wingman Dating App. Tina, are you there?
Hello, yes, I am.
Hi, thank you so much for joining us. How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
We're doing good.
We're doing well. This is Jared.
Hi, this is Vanessa.
Hi.
And Vanessa just woke up. Oh, so it sounded like she didn't. Spoiler alert. She
did. It's early somewhere.
Tina, so we just told the listeners out there that you are the founder of the Wingman dating app, but do you want to tell everyone else a little bit more about it and how you came up with the idea?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, so Wingman is an app where you are going to pass over control of your online dating experience. You're going to pass it over to those that know you best. So it could be your friends, your family, and these people are going to be your wingmen and wingwomen, and they're going to be navigating your dating journey. So they're going to be creating your profile, telling us the good, the bad, the ugly. They're going to be introducing you to whoever they deem appropriate on the app. And so they're making the matches happen while you sit back and let them have control.
That sounds terrifying.
Well, it depends who your wingman is, right? I guess.
It does sound, I agree with Jared, it does sound a little terrifying. So tell us a little bit more about how you came up with the idea.
Well, I was in a long-term relationship. I found myself single and everyone had gone online whilst I was coupled up. And I mean, I went through all of the different apps and it was pretty bonkers, right? Some of the experiences on there, there's a whole new vocabulary, like catfishing and what's biscuiting and breadcrumbing, all these different things. And for me, I just wanted a more kind of impactful way, something that was slightly more authentic. And so having someone describe your profile, it kind of legitimizes who you are, endorses your personality, and then having a lens of somebody else that's not, you know, recently single. You come to these apps with different, maybe a different lens that you've built up since being single, and sometimes I think having a friend who is objective and maybe providing you with options, like this is who you should go with. What about this person? Have you, you know, and making those things, which can sometimes happen in the world offline, right? And so that's something that I wanted to bring onto the platform so that it behaved as we do in the real world.
So can your friend, is your friend chatting with the person on the app?
No. So whatever your friend, if you invite your friend to write your profile, you have to approve what they've said about you. So they can't go too crazy. You know, you have to approve it. And then what happens is when they are looking through the dating feed, when they see someone they think would be a good match, they are sending your profile saying, do you like my friend Vanessa? And that person is saying yes or no. Right? It's like, I think my friend would be a good match for you. Is it a yes or no? Now, if it's a no, you never know. If it's a yes, everyone's notified, like, hey, this person's interested in you and your friend made you a match.
So both you and your quote unquote wingman have to have the app downloaded in order to get matches.
Yes, absolutely. Because you have to approve what they've said.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but it sounds to me like the wingman caters more towards the female audience, right? Because as a guy, yeah, you have your friends that like vouch for you and stuff like that. But I feel like women typically are the ones that go to bat more for their other friends when it comes to dating, right? Like my guy friends would never go to the length of creating a profile and talking me up to people digitally to then like set me up on a date with them.
Well, that's why I said it was terrifying earlier, because I'm thinking of some of my friends who would describe me in my profile and it probably wouldn't be the most flattering.
Exactly. So that's why, to me at least, it sounds like the wingman, I'm sure obviously there are many, many men that are wingman, but to me it just sounds like the wingman typically would be a woman, but correct me if I'm wrong.
No, you're absolutely right. So our female matchmakers are the ones that come on, but they bring their single guys on, right? So they bring their brothers, their cousins,
I see,
their male friends from college. So they generally are the ones who kind of elevate them and give them a bit of a push, almost like, this is what you should be doing. Like, let me suggest this to you, in almost like a big sister approach. But the guys almost come on with a twisted arm, but they're kind of, you know, into it.
But so there are men wingmen. On the app?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
I read one just the other day, which was a guy who said, I'm putting my sister-in-law on here. She's been our third wheel for so long. Like, I married her sister 3 years ago. Who knew I'd have to pay the check for both of them for this long? I thought by now she'd have found a boyfriend. Please, there has to be a guy out there to help her out. And it really made me laugh because it's kind of something that someone might say in the real world. Right. And it came across, like, their whole banterous relationship came across really as fun.
Right.
I love this idea.
Yeah. I honestly think it's genius. It's funny because you always see these new dating apps come out with different iterations of each other. And I always often sit and wonder, like, what could be the next, what could be a new angle that you could come at this with? And a lot of apps are so, so similar. But mm-hmm. this is yes. one that sounds like it's really uniquely different than the other ones.
I mean, it truly is. And it comes from a point of really being frustrated from my own experiences, right? And wanting to help people that are in my life, which is like, my mother is an amazing woman, right? She would, you know, she was a widow for many, many years. Would she ever meet anyone? Probably not, right? But if I was to write her a profile and say, hey, you know, is my stepdad out there, like, looking for a rich one for my mom, like, making a joke, even if she wasn't going to do anything, it kind of just gave her a joke along the way, like, let her elevate that maybe it could happen.
Yeah.
Right.
And so I think because it really is, we have people on the app from the ages of 18 to 72, right? We have, like, a grandmother who wrote a profile for her grandson. Like, he invited her to be part of his dating journey. And I'm like, I love that, right? This guy is a really cool little dude. Yeah, he still loves his nan enough to let her write a profile. And it probably made her day. She probably is talking about it to all of her friends. And even
so,
like, so it just almost, like, connects them. And also you get the, you know, you get the, for me, if there was any way to kind of really describe it, it's like Sex in the City in a way. Like, you have a lot of gay guys writing profiles for their straight girlfriends and vice versa. Right? And those are the conversations that I feel like I would see in Sex in the City. Whereas, you know, the gay guy is like, she's got a hot body under that ugly jumper. Don't let it put you off. Like, some of the profiles they write are so funny and kind of on point. You really get an idea of the friendship group, of what you'd be walking in on a date in this circle. So subconsciously, even though you're giving someone endorsement, you're also painting a picture of who that person hangs out with. They might be a little crazy. They might be a little boring. Like, whatever it is, it's always done with the good intentions of helping that person, you know, elevate them to find their best person. But also, vicariously, I feel like the wing people, they kind of get to, you know, they love being part of it. Like, they get into it. Lots of these people are in relationships. They probably missed out on the dating scene. And sometimes they're the best advocates, right? Because friends really do know you so well, or family. And so for me, when my friends wrote me a profile, I sounded really, like, excellent and amusing. But when I wrote my own profile, I was kind of so I'm trying to sit on the fence and be politically correct and not too self-promotional and not too I mean, it was tough, right, to get a real authentic kind of view of myself across. Yeah. So when my friends wrote it, they were really fun.
It's funny because the same logic, I think, applies to a lot of people that go on The Bachelor to bring it back to us, is a lot of people will have their friends nominate them versus going through the process themselves, just because it's easier. I guess it relieves the pressure, or maybe, like, the...
Well, it's hard to describe yourself, to be like, I think I'm a nice person. Yeah. You know, it's weird where your friend can be like, no, he's a nice guy. Yeah. I'm vouching for him.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. It shows that you're not, like, a crazy person. At least you have some friends or family who's going to vouch for you as well.
I mean, if I had a grandma who was 72 and made an account for me to help find a girlfriend, I would be stoked. So yeah.
And oh my gosh.
On the flip side of that, if I was looking to date someone and their grandmother was vouching for them, I'd be like, that's the cutest damn thing I've ever seen.
I know. First date would be church on Sunday.
Right.
It's so cute.
So Granny's probably a crazy one.
How long has the app been around for?
So we've almost 2 years, right? So we launched it in beta kind of 18 months ago, really. And that was on iOS. We launched it last year on Android. It's in the US and the UK. And yeah, we're just seeing such interesting things happen. I love to see people really helping their, you know, going the extra mile and helping them. And then when you see the validation and things happening, like, I do, like, a little secret hooray behind the scenes.
Yeah, it sounds like a digital way of your friends signing you up for a blind date. Because my question is, when your friend says no to someone, you said that you don't get to see it. What if that...
No, so what happens if you were wingman for Vanessa, And you were like sending Vanessa's profile to whoever, to say 10 other people and saying, you know, I think Vanessa would be a good match for you. When they say no, Vanessa never knows who you send unless it's a yes.
So rejection, unless you never get the rejection.
You never get the rejection.
Okay. Yeah, so this is not a, it's not a public dating app. It's not where random people get to see random people. It's, so if I'm Vanessa's wingman, the only way people see Vanessa's profile is if I send it to them.
Huh. Well, they can, but Vanessa will be shown in the feed also. Gotcha. So they can approach her, but they'll also see the testimonial that you've written about her.
My main fear with this app is if I was on it, right? Like, let's say I was begrudgingly looking for a relationship when one of my friends signed me up to be my wingman. My concern would be that my friends don't necessarily have my type calibrated well enough. And they would be setting me up for dates that I wouldn't necessarily, with people that I wouldn't necessarily be interested in.
It's all depending on the wingman.
Right.
Yeah. And that's your choice, right? If the wingman goes rogue and you're like, this is not for me, you just delete them off, right? People do that.
Yeah. So screw that wingman.
You can get rid of him. Yeah. You're like, he's a bad wingman. And you could add, it's your choice, right? You have it, the power still lays in your hand. It's just who you trust, I guess, to be that person.
Can I have multiple wingmen? Like, can I have five best friends that then get put in a group chat with someone that I'm interested in potentially?
Well, you can have up to five people looking for you, and so many people do fill those slots, but they're so spread out, right? There's like usually two family, two friends, maybe a coworker or something. I mean, it's a real mix.
Sounds fun. It sounds like as a wingman, you get to like be on a dating app without looking to date anyone. You know what I mean? Like, that sounds kind of fun.
I would be.
Yeah, and you're helping your friend out at the same time.
Exactly.
And it's like a perfect idea to, like, if someone is reluctant, because I know so many people who are either getting divorced or who have been single for such a long time and they don't have the courage or the confidence to, like, go on a dating app because they've never done it or they haven't dated anyone in a really long time. So this gives them, like, that push to date and that hope that they could go on another date. But just to clarify, because I went to find the app. I'm in Canada. It doesn't exist in Canada right now?
It's not out there in Canada, but we are going to be launching there later in the year, but it's not there officially, no.
Okay, perfect. So later this year, I can hook up my friends and family.
Yeah, and you know, to your point that you just said, that people, when they are not maybe confident enough to get on, the fact is, you know how great they are, right? You know what's brilliant about them, and you know they deserve the best. It's just like sometimes, as humans, we need a little push, and I think it's up to your wings, men and wing women, to kind of help you out and do that.
Yeah.
I love this idea.
I gotta be honest, I'd be more on this app if I was trying to find dates for Vanessa than I would be on a date trying to, like,
find yourself.
Myself.
Yeah.
Like, screw me. Who wants to date Vanessa?
Yeah. You might be a good wingman.
That would be really fun if a lot of, like, all of Hannah B's rejects all jumped on wingman, and, like, for the second place finisher, they're like, all right, we're gonna find you someone on this app now. That'd be funny.
That could be really funny.
Who knows?
So you said it's on iOS and Android, right?
Yes, it is. Yeah.
And then I didn't hear the answer to Vanessa's question. It's just in the US, but it's branching out as well.
So in US, UK, and then we're going to be opening up in different countries, and Canada will be one of them pretty soon.
Do you have a social media presence?
We are Wingman app. We are generally anything to do with crazy friends or animals is what you'll find on there, because everyone that's working on Wingman seems to be obsessed by animals. So there's always those. But yeah, we kind of interact with people that, you know, we are about dating, but we are also so much more of like celebration of friendship. So we really do kind of push towards those other type of networks.
I think I think one of my favorite things about this too, and it's one thing that I've talked about in the past, is I think it's so important for your significant other or prospective significant other to meet your friends early on, because your friends are the people that you hold closest and dearest to you, right? And obviously you want their approval and you want your significant other to approve of them. And so what's great about this is it just kind of knocks all those pins over right out of the gate.
Right. And also for the other person that, like, let's say I'm dating you, I want to see, like, oh, would I vibe with his friends, or how is he influenced by the group of friends that he's hanging out with? So it's a win-win.
Yeah.
You just got to choose your friends that are the least delinquent out of all of them, which for me sometimes can be a struggle.
Don't let them on their drunk or delinquency or anything like that.
Right.
It's a good one.
I don't know. Drunk could be fun.
Yeah, true. All right. Well, Tina, thank you so much for joining us. If you're listening and you want to give the Wingman app a try, go download it. It's on iOS and Android. Check him out on Instagram. It's @Wingman, I would assume. Yeah.
It's Wingman_app.
Okay. Check him out.
That's right.
give it a download. If you're looking to date, if you have a friend that's looking to date, it sounds like it's a fun thing. And then email us your stories, because I think it'd be fun to share some of those stories on the podcast here as well.
Perfect.
Tina, thank you so much for joining. Best of luck moving forward.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
Yeah, thanks for making
this
happen.
Bye, Tina. Thank you.
Thanks. Take care. Bye, guys.
Bye, Tina.
All right, well, let's talk about...
I love that idea. Can we just talk about how much I love that idea?
Yeah, let's talk about Vanessa.
Do you have any friends that you'd want to sign up for that?
Oh my God, there's so many people that I know, like I said, that are either going through a divorce or have been single for a really long time or just got out of a long-term relationship. Yeah. And they've tried the apps. And I mean, I was on Raya and I just didn't, I went on Raya for maybe a month before my now boyfriend slid into my DMs on Instagram. I feel like Instagram's a great dating app.
It is. Well, for people that...
It is?
It is. I've heard that before, that people use Instagram as a dating app. I think for people like us, it makes it a little bit easier. We have a little bit more exposure, I think. So it's like things are a little bit more accessible to us as a dating app, solely for Instagram.
And also because of the show, we curate our Instagrams a little bit more. So when we're trying to talk to someone on Instagram, I think we feel a little bit more confident. Well, there's a lot of people out there that don't use Instagram. So they might have like one picture posted and their profile is not really updated.
And you go on a dating show, people will reach out to you in hopes that you would go on a date with them.
Obviously, or marriage proposals or things of that nature.
But I guess what's funny to Vanessa's point, and the reason I asked that very first question I did with Tina, was that I don't think I have a single friend I would sign up for Wingman. Because as a guy, it's just like, none of my friends, I think, are of the caliber that the Wingman app would be looking for. Like, as a 20-year-old guy that lives in L.A., formerly lived in L.A., I don't think I have any friends that are looking to be in serious relationships. So it would almost make me feel guilty to like put them on Wingman.
But,
you have like divorcees or like as a woman, you're like, you want your friends to be in relationships, et cetera. But it seems like it's more catered or tailored towards a woman as a Wingman.
Yeah. Well, you're the one vouching for them.
Right.
You don't want to be the jerk vouching for your friend who ends up cheating on the girl that you put them on a date together.
Right.
Nobody wants to be that guy or girl. Sounds like a cool idea, though. Could be fun. We have some emails coming up.
I got one I want to get in here before we go. This is from Anonymous.
We love Anonymous.
And it's juicy. My husband and I have been together for 5 years, and we talked about having a threesome. My husband and his whole pilot crew got very drunk, and my husband was left alone with one particular flight attendant. She came on to him. He said no, but asked if she would be interested in a threesome. She said yes. So he called me and told me what happened, and my stomach dropped.
Wow.
I said, no, I find it to be a bad idea. She's a coworker, and I feel really jealous and uncomfortable that she came on to you. I still want it, but I can't help but wonder if a threesome would ruin our marriage or not. Should a threesome be out of the question at this point?
So many feelings about that.
She wants a threesome too?
Yeah.
She says at the beginning that we have talked about it, and she says at the end, I still want it. It's just this woman makes me really uncomfortable.
Wait, how long have they been married for?
5 years. They've been together 5 years.
I think the challenging thing about this anonymous situation is that it's a coworker, and it's someone that this guy is going to have to see on a regular basis, semi-regular basis, but especially with the wife not around. Like, that's reason enough, I think, to probably nix it with this person. But if you're interested enough, find someone else, a stranger that you're never going to have to interact with again. That's my advice.
Wait,
have you had a threesome?
Jared?
Yes. Yes.
Yes, I've had a threesome. I had a threesome in college once when I was like 19, okay? And that's all I'm going to say about it.
Well, you can have a threesome if you want to have a threesome. There's nothing wrong with that.
Can we ask if it was two girls or one guy?
I said that's all I'm going to say about it.
Have we discussed this before? I feel like we might have discussed this.
We have. I've been open about it.
The color of your sunglasses.
And it was not
Dean's
two girls.
Very red right now.
There's two types of threesomes in this world that guys want to have. And I had the one that was less desirable than the one that most guys want to have.
And if I remember, this was not a great experience for you.
I mean, it was a bad experience.
But like, you felt a little weird about it afterwards.
It was to salvage a friendship. There's a lot of layers here.
Hold on, you had a threesome to salvage a friendship?
We all knew each other. We were all friends. Yeah. It was a very communal effort.
So you guys weren't going to be friends anymore until one day hey, let's all have sex together to save the friendship.
Yes, that's exactly how the conversation
sounds logical to me.
We were 19 years old.
You're a really good friend, Dean.
We were really drunk. We were 19. There's a lot at work here that I don't feel comfortable talking about, but we can talk about it. Whatever. I don't care.
Well, I'm kind of on Vanessa's page too, where yeah, threesome sounds awesome. But at the same time, when you're in love with someone, I think that creates a level of difficulty because then you're with that person and then you're trying to sleep with someone else while they're in the room with you. And it creates this awkwardness because, you know.
You ever see that episode of Entourage where Ian Sloan potentially want to have a threesome with Sloan's best friend? And the rule was that the guy can only have sex with his wife, right? And then he could, like, the other girl and the girl, the two girls can interact, but the guy can only have sex with his wife.
Could he make out with the other girl?
Probably, but I think that there needs to be rules set. If this is going to be something you want to do, like, set some rules, be like, hey, there's not going to be any penetration between you and this other girl.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God.
Like, that seems to be the best route. And I stand by what I said earlier, where don't do it with someone that you work with. Do it with, if you want to do it, do it with a stranger.
Yeah, but how do you ask a stranger if they want a threesome?
I'm sure there's plenty of ways.
I think you just ask.
A stranger? You just go up on the side street? Excuse me.
Listen,
kind lady?
I mean, I have a really good friend who was dating someone for a long time who basically did that. They were at a party and she said that they were both interested in it. And they found some girl that they were both attracted to. They asked her and she said yes. And I think that's a lot better than doing it with someone you work with.
I agree, because then it's, like you said, now it creates an awkwardness because if the pilot sees this flight attendant and the wife isn't there, is there like sexual... Well, chemistry now between the two of them when the wife's not there? As the if I was the wife, I would feel super uncomfortable in that situation.
Doesn't that open up doors to potentially, like, you have it once and then it's like, oh, let's have another threesome, and then it's like a constant chase for something more,
right?
And that would be my fear.
I think we should also speak directly to Anonymous and say that you shouldn't want to do this solely because your husband wants to do it, right? Like, you should 100%. Definitely want to do it on your own. And that seems to be, like, I'm sure that she's probably fighting herself, being like, oh, I want this because I want to make my husband happy, but do I actually want this for myself? I think that's a question that she needs to address with herself.
And there's other ways to spice up your sex life. Like, for example, if Anonymous here doesn't feel comfortable about doing a threesome, but she wants to do something for her husband to really spice up the sex life, there is other things that you can do besides having a threesome.
Hey, Vanessa, I don't want to make this awkward for you, but I do see Nick post a lot on his stories about how he likes... his significant other to wear wigs every once in a while. Is that a thing? I'm just making up now. I'm pretty sure I saw it on his Instagram.
Vanessa, do you own any wigs?
I've never heard of that. No, I don't own any wigs. I'm saying, maybe that's why it didn't work out.
It could be a way to spice things up for this person or for anyone else out there. I don't know. I think we adequately answered it. I would say no, flight attendant. Get rid of that idea. Just throw that one out the door.
You got three no's from us.
I think a threesome in a committed relationship is the beginning of the end, in my opinion. Yeah. Maybe that's an unpopular opinion, but I think it will bring up emotions that you don't anticipate, which actually you're kind of already feeling, and I think it's a bad idea.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't cross that
bridge. Mark's the wise one here.
Anyways,
so all right.
So email us when you meet a stranger and you have a threesome with them, not with this flight attendant, because that's going to make things messier than they probably already are. Anyways, that'll do it for this week's episode of Help, I Suck at Dating. Big thank you to all of our guests, Tina Wilson. Be sure to check out her app, Wingman, on iOS and Android, and also Sean and Megan.
Yep, a big thank you to Sean Lourdes and Megan Thomas. Be sure to check out Marrying Millionaires Wednesday nights, 10 p.m. on Lifetime.
Big thank you to... that's it, actually. Thank you guys so much for joining us. Be sure to tune in next week. Actually, we're all going to be together for next week's episode in Tahoe.
Yay! Well, Plus, we might.
We got to talk about that.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, well, Vanessa's going to be in studio next week.
Yeah, Vanessa's going to be in studio.
With her boyfriend, so you don't want to miss that episode. Be sure to tune in. We're going to dive deep, deep into their love life.
Oh, God.
Thank you so
much. I'm already prepping him.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode. Be sure to tune in then, because maybe we'll suck a little bit less.
Follow Help by Suck at Dating with Dean, Vanessa, and Jared on iHeartRadio or wherever you listen to podcasts.
It's time to celebrate Black History Month at the Walmart Black and Unlimited Clock.
On Thursday, February 29th, from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m., you can celebrate an extra day of Black History Month with Walmart. This event is free and open to the public at two locations, Flatiron Plaza in New York City and Ovation Hollywood in Los Angeles.
With giveaways dropping every hour on the hour, it's the perfect time to try, like, and share Black-led products.
It's free, it's for everyone, and it's your chance to see how you can level up your daily routine with Black-led products that are creating a new world of choices at Walmart.
Trust, you don't want to miss it.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cash back on purchases. And pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.